What we are looking at, there's another, the amendment on
collateral estoppel.
Collateral source.
It's on the collateral source. Collateral source is on page 11, I think.
There are two or three alternatives that have been suggested. I said that I would, I'm not enamored of getting involved in this business here, but if the committee feels that we've got to have something on it, I am just suggesting that you take a look at the draft change. And I think Senator Cole made a remark this morning about, was it about this section, Senator? You talked to the judges about...
We talked about 11B with the addition of federal social security benefits on line B.
I've prepared that, and those are the dash 145 amendments that will be coming to you.
Oh, sorry.
I've given those.
Oh, you've given those.
Okay, so you'll be getting two additional sets of language on collateral source. One is the dash 139 from Senator Frye, and the other is the dash 145 from Senator Cohen. I think it's fair to say the differences are primarily differences of language, but the as a potential user, the definition of what is or is not a collateral source in 145 is a little clearer.
What is a collateral source?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I would move the dash 145.
Do we have the dash 145 amendments?
They should be being handed out.
Yeah.
Sorry, they got short-stopped. There they are.
Someone give them to the stand.
Yes, the one thing that I would point out is that I did not, in subsection 2 in both of them, that concerns how the collateral sources are going and the evidence of cost of those is going to be presented to the court. And Senator Frye's version, the dash 139 version of sub 2, has in it the discussion that he and Senator Phillips had about procedure in terms of using an affidavit. So I point that out.
That's the procedure I suggest, just because of the kind of concern that the judges would express about a hearing in the usual sense of the word. I don't think, if we want to get into that we want to put on a full-blown hearing and have witnesses testify about the benefits and costs and so forth. I think that can quite easily be presented by affidavit to the court.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with substituting that wherever, if you want, if that's simpler. You want to combine them, I don't care. And I guess if you want to do...
What essentially is the difference, if any, in terms of...
Of
what?
Okay, there are a couple of differences. Dash 145 is simply the LC version of the original collateral source bill from the task force. So it says that the... except that I changed may to shall. Okay, I did catch that. The differences in the way the exceptions to the collateral benefits are expressed. If you look at lines 13 to 19.
It seems like the only difference is that it,
got those right.
I don't think that the 139 includes this as a collateral source, but it's set forth specifically in 145 that it includes insurance benefits for which the injured person or person's family paid premiums. But offhand, that's the only difference I see in those two.
Well, that's fine, Mr. Chairman.
Does anybody else notice any?
Well, I guess, again, you've got a shall and I've got a may.
Where's that now, Joyce?
On line 10, you've got a shall.
Line 10?
Let's see.
Oh, the court shall determine the cost?
No, excuse me. Okay.
Off of 145?
No, it's okay.
No, you're thinking of the wrong shall.
I'm looking at the wrong shall.
Right.
If you think 139 is cleaner to administer in the courts, that's fine with me, because that's where I've gotten complaints about it.
Yeah. Well, that'd be my, that's my feeling on it.
You think sub, yeah, so if sub 2 works better without clogging up things in 139, I think that's fine.
I withdraw my motion, Mr. Chair.
You want to move?
The lawyers need to tell me about that.
Well, my interest kind of focuses on trying to track with the task force recommendation as relates to how we define collateral benefits.
Yes.
Are we going to? Yeah. That, is there any way we can pick that up and put that in 139? Or maybe.
Well, I don't know how you can put it in.
What is it?
Well, you can probably substitute sub 2, though, really. See? You
sure.
And that
so sub 2 of 139 would go into 145, is what you're saying.
As a replacement for sub 2 and 145.
Yeah.
Actually, it would go in as a substitute for both sub 2 and sub 3.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Okay.
Well, since apparently all deals are off and the issue of keeping faith with what the House and the Senate versions were on some of the other actions tonight, I think keeping the May language in it and setting up the format and doing the other things, as notable as it may be and worthwhile, I'll object.
Okay.
Well, I need, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead.
Aside from that concern, I'm still want to know how you want to deal with this, whether you're satisfied with whether you want to take 145 and substitute sub 2 of 139 in there and adopt that, or whether you want to stay with the 139 in spite of.
Well, the reason I asked was if there was anything in 145 that wasn't in 139 is because 139 happens to be shorter, I suppose, and more, I think it is kind of a cleaner version of it. And,
well, it's going to be shorter because you get it, well.
What, if there's anything that's missing in 139 from what's in 145, that's what I was interested in knowing, and apparently there isn't anything. That is, the key here is it's something that has to be, that doesn't have to be repaid, I guess, isn't that it? A collateral source for which there is no obligation to repay.
It's sub C that's new. Look at sub C in 145.
New. That's right.
That's different.
That's
from
new.
What you've got probably.
That is different. And the
what else? Is that all?
So I would suggest.
Well, the other. I'm sorry, Senator.
Yeah, go ahead,
Senator Fraud. The other difference is that in the 145 version, disability benefits are accepted. They are not considered collateral benefits because they're listed in sub D. total amount of those collateral benefits other than, and then down in sub D you get disability benefits, where in 139, which is based on the language in the D engrossed version, collateral source means health insurance, workers' comp, or other disability benefits. So yeah. With respect to disability, they're at odds.
Well,
other than that.
No.
Unless I'm reading it wrong.
Well, in both 145 and 139, disability benefits are not considered a collateral source in both versions.
Really?
Well, as I read, I'm sorry, Senator Frye, as I read lines 17 to 19 of the 139 version, collateral source means health, workers' comp, or other disability benefits.
Okay, all right. I didn't
but does not include.
All right, then, I didn't go far enough.
Okay. The other difference, of course, is that 139 says what are collateral sources, and 145 leaves that silent. It simply says benefits that they don't have to pay for, and then says collateral okay. benefits other than.
So we've got insurance benefits for which the person paid the premium, and disability benefits. Those are two differences, aren't they?
Yes.
Those are two differences. So do you want us, do you want to take, do you want to put those two things, you want to put those two things in? Is that what we want to do? We want to keep those two items, don't we? So I would suggest we put insurance benefits for which the person or person's family paid premiums and disability benefits. That's what you want to do.
Just gonna get them over there, right, Dick? Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. You got a little revolt on the right. That's okay. It's a minor one.
No, that's all right. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm a little confused at this point, Mr. Chair.
Well, all right. Somebody else just make just.
Are we trying to use 149, or pardon me, 145 is kind of the.
Yeah, I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to use 139. The chairman's trying to use 139 and put the pieces that you and I care about of 145 over there. And I'm not sure that we can do that very well. But
okay.
That's, I think, what we're trying to do.
I dropped track. I thought we were going to pick up sub 2 of 139.
No, well, the chairman wants to use.
No, that's all right. No, if that's no. Now that I've got it figured out here that no. There are those two differences there, would it be easier? We can either move insurance benefits and disability benefits into 139, or we can take subsection 2 out of 139 and put it in 145, whatever you want to do. Is that what you want to do, the latter?
I don't care, as long as you get the work, get you do what you want to do. It's just
right now that seems clearer to me. I'm not saying better; it seems clearer to me. I think it's better.
Your suggestion is taking sub 2 out of 139 and moving it into 145.
Well, correct. Substituting it for sub 2 and I believe 3.
Yeah.
Sub 2 and 3.
To try to just for purposes of simplification, I think it accomplishes that.
Okay. Fine. Any objection to that?
Yeah, I'd prefer to stay with the section in D engrossed.
Object.
Okay. Then 145 as amended, that is with reference to subsection 2, 139. By committee consensus is adopted in lieu of Section 9 of the Dean Gross Bill. Who's got the running list now of where we are and what we've got left to do? Council?
Catherine. She's pointing at me. I think what we have left to do is in the torts section is on page 12, injury or death during felony.
All right. Okay, we haven't resolved it yet.
We have some amendments. I think we kind of agree, I think.
No, I know. We got bogged down in the question of whether we could use a conviction and that kind of thing.
Mr. Chair, my recollection is we adopted the see engrossed version conceptually, but we were going to allow Representative Phillips and I guess anyone else a chance to work up the language, and I hope counsel has that in a death case or where there wouldn't be any opportunity or for a conviction, we're going to use a conviction language to avoid a double trial, basically, with those, some of those exceptions. And is that correct, Paul, basically?
Well, I think that was certainly the mood of the committee. I think, however, that I would move to strike the section completely from the bill.
You move to strike the section completely from the bill?
Yep.
Any objection to that?
Object.
Object.
Purpose to move to strike is if a bill goes out and is lucky enough to pass, I believe the gentleman's motion at this point is to create an atmosphere to better the process for the initiative, which supposedly will take effect regardless of whether or not we pass a bill.
It's interesting that the representative can read my mind.
Mr. Chair, just for clarification, I'm not, didn't mean to point a personal privilege. I didn't mean to read the gentleman's mind. That's what I believe the motion is meant to do.
Paul, go ahead.
Well, the point being, requiring conviction even on A and B felonies, I think is a mistake. Whether it's A, B, and C felonies, I think the conviction is a mistake as a requirement. I do appreciate the fact with regard to adding when the death is in there, but I just don't think that meets with the standard that was passed either by the Senate or by the House.
You know, say that last again. I didn't quite follow you. I didn't meet the standard set by the Senate.
Well, does the Senate require a conviction? Perhaps I'm inaccurate in saying that.
No.
Okay. By requiring a conviction, therefore, I think we go beyond what the Senate passed. It goes beyond what the House passed.
Oh, I agree. That hasn't been, that's not in place, though.
Yep.
The conviction is not in place.
Well, maybe I misread the issue then.
No, I
didn't you move?
Mr. Chairman, there was some language earlier. Representative Phillips and I have not had a chance to talk about this, but Frank Gruber from Legislative Council and I batted this back and forth for, I would say, somewhere between 20 and 25 minutes this afternoon trying to figure out what we could do, and we have had some difficulty figuring out, based on our understanding of what was wanted, figuring out something that would work well in all cases. The problem is that you get into so many exceptions for different kind of situations that it's difficult to build a relatively brief general rule. And for us to go any farther, we really need some policy direction. And what I'd need is a chance to sit down with Representative Phillips and whoever else to get it clear in my own mind.
Mr. Chair, Dick, maybe I can get us past this point. We got more important things to talk about than this section. I would withdraw any suggestion of any amendments as it relates to changing the language in the see engrossed version of the bill. I appreciate the work that council put into it. My personal opinion is this applies to so few circumstances that if the folks who feel this is important want it, as opposed to the conviction language, which I offered because I thought it was going to make the thing simpler, at least that was my hope, I'm willing to withdraw that, and I would be glad to accept the see engrossed language of the Senate bill if that's where folks are at.
Well, let's see. Is there agreement on that?
No. Choose the House version.
Okay. Well, the record will note Senator Brennan's objection to that, and see engrossed version would be the committee consensus at the moment. All right. What have we got left here?
Let's Liquor liability, page 15. Or did we do that?
Well, we haven't really done it.
That's what I thought.
No, I don't think, and I'm not too sure that I want to get...
Okay.
...to that point right this minute. What else have we got here?
Well, excuse me, I'm curious about your question that we really haven't done it. We conceptually adopted some process. What exactly haven't we done?
All right, I'm going to have to rely on somebody else's notes here. I didn't think we'd put that thing to rest yet.
I have written on my page here that we were deleting sub 1 and 2 section. Well, section 13 and accepting 16 and
working on the language.
And revising 15. Oh, and keeping sub 3 in section 13.
And I, following my commitment to Representative Cohen, we've got the language drafted up to 15 that meets the concern of both Cohen with regard to having the information available through OLCC, and that has been passed out to all members. So unless I missed the boat, I thought that had been addressed.
Well, it probably has. Is everybody's recollection the same then as John's? On that, okay.
I do have a question I have to raise. Part of this section 13 is new language, and part of it is existing statute. And I assume that what you want to delete out of sub 1 and 2
just the new language
is either the new language or the last in sub 1, the last phrase, and the intoxication resulted from imbibing alcoholic liquor. Because if you delete the whole thing, it begins to doesn't.
Well,
it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't it go back to
existing
law?
Sure. You eliminate this and you just go back to current law.
The purpose, I guess, and I thought it was to take out the changes so that we would leave the statutes the way they are now, with the exception of sub 3. That's what I understood we were doing.
Yeah, and you need to do is renumber 3 then. It doesn't turn out to be a real sub 3 because you don't have any subs in there.
Well, sure.
Okay, it may be hard to tell from the Xerox copies. Sub 1 has both existing law and new language in it.
That's true, but it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference.
You delete it means you don't address it.
We're only deleting a part of the bill. We're not deleting old law.
Okay. Yes.
Tell us more.
I think section 14, we're talking about 309.55, is repealed. Do we need to do that if we made these other changes? I think is that social host liability?
I think so. And I think
I'm getting the affirmative nod. I don't think we mean to repeal that if we go along with these other changes.
No, you're right.
So I think it would be consistent with our action taken this morning, whether you agree with it or not, that section 14 would also be deleted. Is that
right?
The repealer.
I think
thank you.
Right. Yeah, I think that's right. So now, do we have something submitted, you say, to us regarding section 15?
Yeah, it's the dash 147 amendments that have been passed out to everyone, and I hope they have them.
This was 140, wasn't it?
It was 140, and it's 147 to put in the issue of notification to the individual, or the access to it, I guess would be a better way to say it, from OLCC.
Everybody got 147? No.
There was a copy at everybody's place.
Oh.
Yeah, if you dig a little bit, you may get it.
Yeah.
Okay, can I help out Eric one more time, or Catherine? I think if we're going to accept sub 3 on its own and not change existing law, which includes non-repealing things, we're going to have to give them license to put that clear and convincing somewhere else, or change or sprinkle it into other parts of the statute, either or both, or make a kind of a
you'd go into 30.9.
Another section that deals with just that part and refers to both the licensee and the social host, it seems to me. And I guess I want to make sure that that's clearly understood, if that's what we want to do.
Let me make a suggestion. What we have now is two separate sections, one dealing with licensee and permittee liability, which is what's being amended here, and then 955, which is a separate statutory section on private host liability. What this language has done is combine those three sets of folks into one statute. And if I can make a suggestion, instead of deleting subsection 1, if you simply delete the language and the intoxication resulted from imbibing alcoholic liquor, and then delete subsection 2, then you would repeal, then you'd leave section 14 in and accomplish what you want to accomplish.
Because the issue is that it should apply to the social host, the permittee, and the licensee.
Yes.
I think you're right, Eric, that would address the issue at hand.
Well, this one, though, this doesn't require any notice be given to the injured person, though. I thought we discussed that. I thought that was a good idea.
There's no notice to anybody except the OLCC.
Yeah, a copy of the notice shall be retained in the files of the commission and shall be open to inspection by injured person or damaged person or a representative of the person, so it's available to them.
I see, all right. Okay, right. Any objection to the dash 147? In lieu of section 15 of the D and Gross bill, okay. That to be adopted by the committee. We've got the checklist.
Hi. We deleted that. I think, except for approving language of a revised PLF section and sections 147 and 151, that we've done everything. Now, let me see here.
Okay, let us revisit the PLF to make sure we don't have to. I thought, did we do that or not?
Well, I have put together, using Jeanette Holman's language, I mean, I can't claim any of the language for my own. I did a cut and paste job based on the 323B language and the 324B language, which I can copy for you tonight or I can send down to LC. It's got one sentence that needs to be worked on. And other than that, it's ready to go to LC and we'll be ready for you in the morning.
Okay, but you've done it then?
It's done, yeah.
Okay. And
I've tried to follow your instructions on putting them together.
Paul will have to look at that eventually.
No.
Yeah.
But review my
notes. Think it's pretty close. I think it does do what we're
supposed to
do. We're talking about the minority report on 324.
Okay.
I have a feeling we have these things we have ready. I think
we
just make sure we haven't missed
anything.
Something ought to be done, then, you know, not to be doing it.
Yeah, have you got that?
That's fine.
Have we got that worked out?
We did.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What happened on 324? That was not concurred in, right?
Well, what happened was Fry held it over because everybody was a bit jumpy thinking we were getting some sort of crazy.
They don't trust us?
nice activity, then I'll win.
Hey, Ways and Means is what you gotta worry about.
Me thinks so.
We'll get back.
We'll get back. Tomorrow's another day.
No, we'll get back.
Yeah, I don't think we're finished yet.
Is there a certain amount?
Okay.
But the definition of
well, I think that one.